Okay, let's turn in our Bibles to the book of 1 Chronicles. 1 Chronicles, we want to look at chapter 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 4. And we want to begin in verse 9. 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9. The Word of God says, "And Jabez was more honorable than his brethren. And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, Because I bear him with sorrow. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying, Oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed, and enlarge my coast, and that thine hand might be with me, and that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. And God granted him that which he requested." Let's pray. Father, we see, as you have recorded in your word for us, an account that you thought it necessary for us to examine, to benefit from, and we pray that you would, with the blessing of the Holy Spirit, to be our teacher, to enlighten this passage to our hearts. We ask, Father, that you would so work, that we may be able to benefit therefrom, that we may gain the fullest benefit possible in this fleshly tabernacle. We would ask, Father, that you would give the words that is necessary, because of ourselves, we're nothing. We can do nothing. We can only, through the Lord Jesus Christ, can we ever be even begin to do something that is proper and right, and to say that which is proper and right. And so, Father, we pray that you would bless indeed, as the prayer says here, and that we would gain much spiritual benefit therefrom, that we may, that it may redound to your glory. We ask, Father, that you would remove from us those sins, those distractions, those deceptions that may come our way. The prince and power of the air may throw in this thought or that thought. May you, Father, build a hedge about us that we may be able to gain the fullest benefit from your word now. For we pray these things in the name of our great King, our great Lord of Lords and King of Kings, our Lord Jesus Christ, and for his sake. Amen. Jabez, a man more honorable. This man, Jabez, is only mentioned in this portion of God's Word. It's the only time we have anything about this man. Set right in the middle of 9 chapters of genealogies. Right in the middle of that. It was a long genealogy that began with Adam and went all the way into the captivity. When Israel returned out of captivity. It was as if God was to say, here is Jabez, somebody who stood out as honorable in my sight. When God makes note of someone, we ought to make note of it. We ought to take instruction from it. All the rest of them are basically, were just mentions their name, and that's it. They got an honorable mention of their name, and that was it. But we have a little bit more detail about Jabez that's given here. They say, as I've studied this, that Jabez lived in the time of the judges. It was a time in which everyone did what was right in their own eyes. It was not a very honorable time. It was a time of ups and downs. Maybe that's why his name was associated with sorrow. I don't know. But it was not an honorable time. That is significant because it's so much more difficult to be honorable in dishonorable times. It's so easy to go along, to get along, to follow the path of least resistance in times like that. So this makes it even more evident that Jabez was certainly a man who is honorable in the sight of God. And we need in this world, badly, so badly, honorable people in this dishonorable time in which we live. It's becoming more and more difficult and less fashionable in this world society to be honorable. But it is, isn't it refreshing to see God's people that you meet, whether it's here in church, which thankfully we have a whole host of honorable people, which I thank God for. But you go to a Bible conference, you read an article in the paper, one of the church papers, and it's refreshing to know that God is working through people and that they are working out their salvation with fear and trembling, and they are honorable people. The truly honorable, though, realize that they are far less honorable than they ought to be. They recognize also, and the reason why they feel this way is because they realize in comparison to God, they are dishonorable. It says there in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 16, who only, speaking of God, hath immortality, dwelling in the light which no man can approach unto, whom no man has seen nor can see, to whom be honor and power everlasting. Amen. He's the one to whom honor ultimately belongs. He's the one that ultimately bestows honor upon anyone because he is ultimately the most honorable one. To be honorable means a lot of things. It means to be honest. It means to have wisdom and discretion. It means to have compassion, to have a good reputation as a person who is compassionate, who is a servant to other people, who serves others. To be honorable is to be respectful. To be honorable is to be the opposite of disgraceful. I like what Webster's dictionary, 1828 dictionary, says within its definition. It's got a whole host of them, but number 7 says this: proceeding from an upright and laudable cause, or directed to a just and proper end. Not base, not reproachful, as an honorable motive. Notice what it says. This last statement I really like. Nothing can be honorable, and I might add no one can be honorable, which is immoral. Now, there are those who wear the title in our country as the most honorable so-and-so. But in the eyes of the judge of all the earth, they're the least honorable. Because they wrongfully promote and legislate immorality. You know, they get on, you can't legislate morality. Oh, so you're going to legislate immorality. That's okay. That's nonsense. God have mercy on them. God have mercy on those who would just accept that and tolerate that. We should not tolerate it. You know, sometimes when things, and I'm going to get in this later, but sometimes the enemy knows how to deal with us. You know, something may bother us, shock us, and disturb us, and make us angry for a little bit. But if it just if the enemy just keeps on and keeps on and keeps on and keeps on, pretty soon what happens? People get apathetic. They get indifferent. Oh, what's the use? Let us never get that way. Let us be just as disturbed about dishonorability as when we first heard about it, whatever the subject matter is. God doesn't change. He stays the same. And we need to be the same. Let them continue in their wickedness, but let us continue to be honorable people and not tolerate immorality. Now, the Word of God tells us that prayer by itself does not make a person honorable. We see that with the Pharisees. Remember, they prayed and all this kind of stuff. But honorable people are known to God by their prayer life. We see that. There is an intimate connection between honorability and prayer. Now, for most of us, that's a convicting statement right there. Because there's not a one of us who obeys the command fully to pray without ceasing, do we? How we need to constantly be reminded of this. Not say, well, I'm not ever going to be able to do it, so I'm going to give up. I'm going to slack off. God help us not to be that way. Self-promotion is not something that's honorable. It's condemned in the Bible. Haman shows us that. It says there in Esther 6, verse 6, so Haman came in, and the king said unto him, what shall be done unto the man whom the king delighteth to honor? Now Haman thought in his heart, to whom would the king delight to do honor more than to myself? And so he begins to promote himself and so on. It's never advisable. He was lifted up all right, but not in the way he thought he was. He was lifted up in the gallows to be hung. And we should not be so concerned about the honor of men. Jesus said himself in John 5:41, I receive not honor from men. 1 Samuel chapter 2 and verse 3. This is what we ought to take in consideration as we deal with this subject. As we deal with this man Jabez and how it would apply to our hearts. 1 Samuel 2:30 says, wherefore the Lord God of Israel saith, I said indeed that thy house and the house of thy father should walk before me forever. But now the Lord saith, be it far from me, for them that honor me, I will honor, and they that despise me shall be lightly esteemed. We should desire to honor God and be honored therewith by honoring God, the most honorable one. Now, I want us to first of all look at Jabez, a man more honorable, who is a man of sorrow. And we're going to take these verses bit by bit and to see what was it that made this man honorable. Well, it was God, of course, but what are some characteristics? What are some things and lessons that we can glean from these few verses to help us that we might be more honorable than we are? Because that's what we want to do, isn't it? We want to be more honorable in the sight of God so that God would be honored in our lives. We've not arrived. There's much to be learned. I was talking to Charles up Sunday school. I mean, there's just so much in God's Word. And so much I need to be reminded of. But notice what it says in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 9. It says, and Jabez was more honorable than his brethren, And his mother called his name Jabez, saying, because I bear him with sorrow. Now, there's supposed to be sorrow either way. There's pain and there's suffering as a woman bears a child. But this stands out. I mean, just it's spoken as if there was a special kind of sorrow associated with Jabez. His name means sorrow. It can mean causing sorrow or causing pain. Can you imagine Jabez? He lived in the day where your name meant a lot. Your name, if it was a good name and it had a good meaning, it was very helpful to you. It was beneficial to you. It was a blessing to you. But Jabez's name, can you imagine the kids as he was growing up? Man, you're nothing but a pain. You're a pain in the neck. Just like your mom says. That's what he had to live with. Considering the times in which you lived in, the times of Judges, considering his name that he had, he didn't look like he was a great candidate to be somebody who was more honorable. But yet, he was. We may have a past that makes us not to be candidates to be somebody more honorable. But God can change that. God is able to change that. Let's not forget, we're gonna fail. We've all failed. We've all got things we're ashamed of that we did in the past. Satan tries to keep us down. Oh, God will never forgive me. Is that right? That's not right. If we confess our sins, what does the Bible say? He is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins. The thing is, Satan doesn't want us to get into the other blessings of this prayer. That's part of the reason why. Sometimes we don't go to the throne of grace because, Lord, I don't deserve to go to the throne of grace. Well, sure, we don't deserve it in and of ourselves, but through Christ, we have bold access to the throne of grace. Jabez probably saw his need in the midst of his sorrow more quickly than most people. And that's a step in the right direction. It says in Proverbs 18:12, before destruction, the heart of man is haughty or lifted up. And before honor is humility. Humility. So there has to be this measure of humility before there can be this honor. And looking at ourselves as being lightly esteemed, not highly esteemed. I think of Benjamin. He was the son of sorrow, but God made him the son of Jacob's right hand. God changed it. He was more honorable, though he is born with sorrow. Jesus said of those citizens of his kingdom as well. In Matthew chapter 5, verse 3, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. As God's people, we have a low estimation of ourselves. For we see ourselves only as lowly, hell-deserving sinners. We need to remember that we are conceived and born as sinners, a few days and full of trouble. Psalms 90 verse 10, the days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet in their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off and we fly away. But now secondly, not only was Jabez, who was more honorable, was he a man of sorrows, but he was a man of prayer. 1 Chronicles 4:10, what I call part A. And Jabez called on the God of Israel, saying. He didn't call on some generic God. He called on the God of Holy Scripture. Just praying is not enough. You must go to the one who can bless. The one who can take us out of our sins and out of the sorrow that comes along with that sin. No other God that the world would contrive and make in their own vain imaginations can ever deliver us from the sorrow and the sins in our lives. Seeing our needs as sinners, not even able to lift up our heads, has a way of moving us to prayer, like the publican. He couldn't so much as lift up his head. And what did he say as he prayed, as he was in sorrow of his condition? He said, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. He saw his sorrowful condition. And God uses that as a means to bring us to prayer when we see our need. No one sees a need to have a Savior and to call upon the Lord. Whosoever shall call on the Lord shall be saved. No one's going to get to that point until they realize their sinful condition. No one's going to be will pray until they get to that point. Jabez saw that his case was hopeless, and that only the God of hope was going to be able to come through for him. He couldn't do it on his own. There was no praying through or praying to saints, popes, or priests. He prayed directly to God. These others are sinners just like we are. The saints are sinners. Popes are sinners. Priests are sinners. They have no authority. Matter of fact, popes and priests are lost if they believe in Roman Catholic doctrine. They believe in salvation by works. So their prayers are not heard. There's no use in going to them. It's vanity and vexation of spirit. They have no right to the throne of grace because they are trying to work their way to heaven. Scriptural prayer goes hand in hand with humility and honor. Because prayer says, I can't, but only God can. That's what prayer says. That is, that when we go to the Lord in prayer, that's what it's saying. Just the very act. Psalms 91 verse 15, he shall call upon me, and I will answer him. I will be with him in trouble. I will deliver him and honor him. See the correlation between the honor and the prayer. Jabez was an honorable man, and immediately after that, it speaks of him being a man of prayer. You see, there's a connection there. As for this Jabez, whose aim was so well pointed, his fame was sounded down through the centuries that he was a man of prayer. Jacob was surnamed Israel. When? When he wrestled with God in prayer. He was called Israel. Jabez was more honorable than his brethren because it appears he was more prayerful than his brethren. But then thirdly, we not only see him as a man of sorrows, a man of prayer, he was a man in need. It didn't stop. We're just beginning to call on God. In 1 Chronicles 4:10b, oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. It's a great comfort to have the blessing of your parents. You have my blessing, son or daughter. It's a great comfort and encouragement to have the blessing of our parents and other people that we may admire or respect, or other people, or the church, even the, you know, let's say we had a missionary go out from church, we would give them our blessings if that person was qualified to go out, and so on. And what a great comfort that is. But it pales in comparison to God's blessing. As people, we can bless temporarily at best. And we often fail to do that because of our weakness, our frailty, and our sin. Some people desire to hear the praises of men. They want to hear the blessings of men. That's what they want. They want man's blessing. They want man's praises. They want the flatteries of men to bless them. But these flatterers, they're not blessing you to benefit you at all. They want something out of you. That's why they say what they say. So why even want it? Why even desire it? Because you're not going to receive a blessing from them. Is it not infinitely better to seek blessings from He who spoke the universe into existence with His omnipotence? Isn't it much better? This God, this same God, the only God who gives eternal life, eternal joy, eternal peace, eternal love, eternal blessings. I like what it says in Proverbs 10:22. The blessing of the Lord, it maketh rich. And notice this. And He addeth no sorrow with it. No sorrow with His blessings. Now, look at this word, this little word in our text. The word indeed. An interesting word, isn't it? Bless me indeed. It appears that he's asking for something more than just mere temporary blessings. He's asking rather for eternal and everlasting blessings. That is to be blessed indeed. It doesn't matter that the world condemns us. In little time that they're able to do so, it doesn't matter. When the eternal God blesses us with His eternal blessings, it means nothing that they would condemn us and judge us. But oh, that thou wouldest bless me indeed. What would that be to us? To hear our God say, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." That would be blessed indeed for him to say, to hear those words. Lord, bless my feeble efforts indeed, that you would be glorified and others would be benefited. I find it interesting, too, that there's nothing specific at the beginning of this prayer. Bless me indeed, in what way? Well, I think it's kind of left open. It's left open as if to say, Lord, I don't know what I need to be blessed indeed. Only you do. I don't know what it is that I need to be blessed indeed, but you do. I leave it in your hands. I trust you to do what is best. Not as I will, but as thou wilt. Whether it's being blessed indeed in sickness, or whether it's being blessed indeed in good health, whether it be blessed indeed in poverty, or whether it be blessed indeed in prosperity, whether it be blessed indeed in obscurity, or whether it be blessed indeed in popularity. Lord, you know what's best. You know what's best. You know the best way to bless me indeed. I don't. These kind of blessings are not emotionally based or based on the reports of men, but it's based upon God and His Word and His honor. But then fourthly, Jabez, a man more honorable, was a man of faith. 1 Chronicles 4:10c, he begins to elaborate, and in addition to blessing me indeed in an open kind of way, and enlarge my coast. Now, do you figure that Jabez was simply talking about geographical gain here? Now, God can use that. He can use that so that we may glorify Him. What Jabez was looking for here, I believe, is he was looking for spiritual gain that would bring honor and blessings indeed. Jesus told us to occupy till I come. We're to gain ground for the kingdom of God. We're to advance the kingdom of God. We need to pray and, Lord, enlarge my coast. This church, we need to pray, Lord, enlarge our coast. Our sphere of influence as we reach out in this community where God has placed us. And this is so reasonable for us. We're to advance God's kingdom. And guess what? God's churches have the keys to the kingdom. If it's reasonable for anybody, is reasonable for His churches, that God would answer that prayer. Because again, we're told to occupy till Christ comes. As a church, and see, Jabez knew how big God was and is. Sometimes I think we lose sight of it. At least I do. He wanted his coast enlarged. That means more responsibility, more things to do. And when we ask God to enlarge our coast, what does that mean? That means that we are to be advancing into Satan's territory. That's what it means. But the Bible tells us, and Jesus promises us, that the gates of hell shall not prevail against us. Matthew 16:18-20. The thought is this: we are to take the offensive, not the defensive posture. Now think about it. See how this makes sense. Is it the gates of hell coming against us and moving toward us? That doesn't make sense. Gates are stationary, generally, right? They are a defensive mechanism. We are to storm those gates, and those gates will not prevail. They will not be able to withstand our attack in the power of God's might. How do I know that? God's churches have always existed. God has been saving people, will be saving people. He's saving his people. That's the promise. That's what we're to do. But sometimes we have not because we ask not. And we sometimes get afraid of the challenges. Well, this is more than I can handle. Well, you're right. It's more than anybody can handle by ourselves. We're afraid of the challenges that would lie ahead. So we don't ask big requests like this. We're afraid of the challenges. We're afraid that our own abilities, our own resources, our time, our energy, our talents, our looks, or lack thereof, we just won't be able to do it. That is not walking by faith. Because we have a command God's given to us. And it's not just, I got to grit my teeth and do it. I get to do it. Do you see that we will see blessings that we've never seen before when we step out by faith in this way and storm the gates of hell? That's what we're to do. That's part of going out into all the world to preach the gospel. You know that means that we're storming the gates of hell and they won't prevail. Jabez put it in God's hand. You, Lord, bless me indeed. He wasn't looking at himself. I go back to Beatitudes when I think about blessing. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. You talking about enlarging your coast? There's enlargement of our coasts right there. The meek's not dependent on themselves. They're dependent on God. But then fifthly, Jabez, a man more honorable, was a man of wisdom. In 1 Chronicles 10d, it says, "And that thine hand might be with me." And Jabez knew his limitations. Even after being blessed, he was believing, praying, believing, but he knew that just having enlarged coast wasn't all that we need to be asking for here. The wise man built his house upon a rock. He dares not go forth seeking to be used of God to further his kingdom on his own. There was a guy who was a very popular writer. You know how some of these health and wealth gospel people, guys, they're really positive. And there's no wrong being positive, but they have no scriptural warrant for what they do. A parachurch organization. Oh, we're going to take the world, you know. We're going to convert South Africa and all this kind of stuff. Didn't happen. He pulled out. He wasn't. See, they're going against God's scriptural warrant, God's scriptural instructions. They go out as a parachurch organization. They're just opening themselves up for failure. We're going into enemy territory. You begin to realize you need God to be with you. Not just in front of you. Not behind you. Lord, hold my hand through this. I can't get through this. I'm in enemy territory. I'm in harm's way. Imagine going to a place maybe on some battleground, maybe some very rough neighborhood where they hate your guts, would rather shoot you than look at you. We're in worse territory than that. When we go into Satan's territory, he hates us more than any person could ever hate us. And when we start asking God to bless us indeed to enlarge our coasts, you better believe he's going to have his sight set on us. It's when we're in those kind of situations. Think about Paul, who is being almost stoned to death. I think he knew a little bit about, Lord, be with me. As long as we're not in our little comfort pleasure palaces, we don't think we need God. When we get rich, what happens? We become complacent and we forget God. That's what happened to Israel. That's just the way it is. We need to be busy about our Father's business. Sometimes we don't see God, our need, as we should, because we aren't seeking to storm hell's gates to evangelize the lost, to lengthen our cords and strengthen the stakes. We need to have God's hand with us every step of the way. We still need God's blessings. That's when we realize it. The early church turned the world upside down, and it didn't do it by just worming a pew. They did it because they were out busy about their Father's business, at their places of work, at the temple. Jesus sent them out two by two. But then, sixthly, and lastly, Jabez, a man more honorable, was a man of like passions. And I say this because so often we shrink back because we know how we failed or we know our weakness. I'm not talking about looking to us. I'm talking about looking to the God that can cause us to overcome. 1 Chronicles 4:10, E. And that thou wouldest keep me from evil, that it may not grieve me. Proverbs 29:23 says, a man's pride shall bring him low, but honor shall uphold the humble in spirit. You know, this prayer right here ends in almost the same way as a model prayer does. It says in Matthew 6:13, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. We make our petitions known. Our requests are made. But you know what the next danger is? We can make an idol out of those blessings. And it becomes sin to us. How Jabez realized how unreliable and sinful we are, even as God's children. We get deceived, distracted, and tempted, and then to sin to our own dishonor and to the dishonor of the God who just blessed us. He knew that, Lord, keep me from evil. Deliver me from evil. Going into Satan's domain, storming his gates, going into all the world, reaching out to the many people groups coming in our country with the gospel, it'll take us out of our comfort zone, I'm telling you. It's a war zone of all war zones. And we need God's protection from evil. We can be lifted up with pride because God blesses us, as if we got those blessings because we're so good, we're so honorable. That can happen. We may start out good and then the popularity, the success, all of a sudden goes to her head. So are you looking for a scripture to pray? That's what we ought to do, is pray the word. Here's one that received a yes from God. I like those kind of prayers, don't you? I don't like the prayers of God that says no, or he just doesn't say anything, which is basically a no usually. Here's a yes. Here's an example of a yes from God. It says in the last part of 1 Chronicles 4:10, and God granted him that which he requested. But let me tell you, if you're still yet in your sins, without Christ as your Lord and Savior, sorrow will be your portion. And dishonor, Psalms 32:10, many sorrows shall be to the wicked, but he that trusteth in the Lord, shall mercy shall compass him about. And then Revelation 18:7, how much she hath glorified herself. This is what the world thinks. And live deliciously, so much torment and sorrow give her. For she saith in her heart, I sit a queen and am no widow and shall see no sorrow. They say, you know, oh, everything's going to be fine. Peace, peace, when there is no peace. Eternal hell is going to be a place of weeping and gnashing of teeth. Weeping for sorrow. Gnashing of teeth for pain. All those who reject God and His commandments. Contempt, not only sorrow, but contempt, not honor, shall be given to those who reject God's words and God's ways by their very words and ways. Isaiah 23:9, the Lord of hosts hath purposed it to stain the pride of all glory and to bring into contempt all the honorable of the earth, the ones that the world has honored. And then Daniel 12:2, and many of them that sleep in the dust of the earth shall awake, some to everlasting life, and some to shame and everlasting contempt. That's scary.
Amen.
That's scary. Jesus says there in John 5:23, all men should honor the Son, even as they honor the Father. That means He's God, He's deity. He that honoreth not the Son, honoreth not the Father, which hath sent Him. God honors those who honor Him. How do you honor the Son? You honor the Son by turning from your sins. Leaving your sins and turning to Christ, trusting in Christ to save you from your sins, to deliver you from the wrath to come because of what He did at Calvary, because of the blood that was shed on the cross of Christ. That's the beginning of being blessed indeed, is to have eternal life. To have an abundant hope. But those of us who are saved, Jesus says in John 12:26, if any man serve me, let him follow me, and where I am, there shall also my servant be. If any man serve me, him will my Father honor. How much are we serving God? Serving Him in everyday life. And remember what Jesus said as we close. He said in Matthew 28:18, to us as a church body, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power, all authority is given unto me in heaven and earth. We got it. Go ye therefore, because I'm going to give you the power. And teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you. Enlarging of the coast. Go And lo, I am with you. He's going to go with his hands, going to go with us. Don't worry. Even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let this not only be our prayer that Jabez prayed, let it be our life, the way we live our life. Yes, we live in dishonorable times. So did Jabez. God answered his prayer. Who's to say, who can tell if God would enlarge our coast and bless us indeed in ways that we never would have thought of because we've maybe been too complacent or fearful of our own inabilities and the opposition of the world. May we honor our Lord and take him by faith. Take him at his word and therefore honor him, and he will indeed honor us. Let's close with a word of prayer, and I ask Brother Brandon if you could ask a blessing on the food as well and close the service.
Still your sheep out there, Lord, that you may use us, Lord, even to talk to them, to witness to them. But there is no power in us, Lord, but that it's in you. You might even use one of us to do so, Lord. We do pray, Lord, that you would just bless this meal, Lord, that you prepared. Pray that you would take it to the nourishment of our body, Lord, and our body to your service. Pray that you would just bring us back, Lord, to this evening's service, Lord, that you would just ready our hearts once again, Lord, that we would receive whatever blessing, Lord, and whatever commandment, Lord, that you would have for us.
Amen. Amen. We plan on open air services, weather permitting. I know we're shorthanded today. Maybe next week might be better. I don't know. But anyway, that's the plan.